Feed me more. Welcome to Conversation with the Big Guy. I am the Big Guy Ryback, and I'm sitting here with the third wheel Asian Joe, and the guy I talk to more than probably anybody. And I don't know if this means it's going to be the end of our friendship here very soon.
Probably.
It seems to be the way this goes on this podcast.
Yeah.
Is JD Michaels. Is that how you would like to be addressed, JD? Or Jordan?
I would like to be addressed as either Jordan or JD. JD Michaels, I think, rode off into the sunset back in what the hell did I change my name? 07, 08, maybe?
It's one of those things that when you meet another wrestler, though, by their name, it kind of sticks with it. I always just refer to it, just JD Michaels is forever in my head, but JD is what we will simply refer to you as for this show. And
because that's what my name was when I met you.
Yeah, so that's why it's just always like it's just the way it is. There's people that call me Skippy, still wrestlers that met me when I was Skip Sheffield, and it's weird. I hear it and they're like, "Hey, Skippy," but that's how they first met me. So yeah. It's just like it sticks in people's heads and whatnot. But it's now time for the wrestling news with my man Ace Mike Malero. Ace, how you doing this week?
It's still real to me, damn it.
Good, everything's good over here in Jersey. How are you guys over there in Vegas watching the game?
We're doing great. We got our buddy JD Michaels with Iron Attitude with us this week, and as everybody knows, and we're looking forward to what you have for us and what's going on in the world of wrestling.
Cool. Let's start with we'll start with something from tonight. I know you saw this because Kofi Kingston posted a picture of himself staring at a poster of you, saying 5 years ago in Edmonton, now today in Lafayetteville, he still haunts me, right at Ryback 22. 5 years ago, they had this great segment where you powerbombed him through a table, then another table, then another table. And I've always had a question about that segment. Was that you feeding off the crowd, or was that actually supposed to be exactly that way, with the three tables?
No. I wish I was that good. That was me following orders as planned. The crowd just happened. We didn't think that they just started cheering for it. I'll never forget. It was in Edmonton. They just loved the violence, I think. And Kofi actually had bone chips in his elbow and needed to go have surgery. And so they used that as another opportunity to get me more heat with the internet fans and said that I injured him and he needed surgery on his arm. So that's... That didn't do me any favors either, but it was a lot of fun.
That's my hometown.
That is. Were you there that night?
No, but I was outside the building and I slipped everybody $5 and I said, "Cheer right back, extra."
I needed all the help I could get back then. Thank you. It was.
I just remember it was so great. The crowd was chanting, one more table, and you grabbed another one, and then one more table, and you grabbed a third one. So that was such a great segment. So.
If I would have been able to see into the future how my career was going to go for about the next year shortly after that, I would have said, fuck it, and just got another table. But it was at that point I was still trying to do, be a good soldier. But
So were these tables like out and open, or did you like grab tables randomly?
Because we keep tables under the ring. It's professional wrestling, so
sure. But how many? At what point do you stop? Like, do you run out of tables?
No, they make sure for like stuff like that when there's going to be for TV.
Yeah,
like, if you're doing a tables match, they will have literally 20 tables under
20
there.
Tables.
You won't need all of them, but the legs break on these tables.
Sure,
it's pretty
common.
It used to happen with me and Cena all the time.
So I'm curious if anybody gone through all those tables.
me and Cena have used quite a few
doing
some main events, but it was, that was only three that night, but they had plenty under there and stuff. So we could have extended that segment had we wanted, but I don't think Kofi would have appreciated that very much.
Four hours later,
yeah.
Table number 560.
Powerbomb him through 17 tables. No, but. That was a good time. Kofi's one of my favorite people. I like him a lot.
All right, let's get back to wrestling news. Apparently, WWF is set to announce big changes to their pay-per-views. It looks like WWF may be extending the length of their pay-per-view events now that they're co-branded with the Raw and SmackDown rosters as a way to fit more talents on the card. WWE has already reached out to their international broadcast partners, including In Demand and Sky TV, to inform them that pay-per-view events will now begin at 7 p.m., starting with the June 17th Money in the Bank pay-per-view. This means that the kickoff show will likely start at 6 p.m., and that some of the actual pay-per-view events will run longer than 4 hours. It's also noted that major events like SummerSlam could run even longer than that. We talked about this a little last week. You know, extending the length of the show is a double-edged sword. I mean, it's great. It opens up talent for more people, but as a viewer, it's hard to find time to watch all the wrestling that's on now. So doing every pay-per-view at 4 hours is kind of a little bit crazy to me, but...
Yeah, no, that is it's a great opportunity to get more talent on there, but JD, what do you think about 4 hours for regular pay-per-views?
It's too long. I understand, you know, trying to get more talent on there, but, you know, one of the things that wasn't broken about the way the business used to be was, you know, the cream of the crop were the ones that got on the pay-per-view, and that's what drove the competition for everybody to try and outperform each other. And it's a situation now where, you know, 4 hours for a regular pay-per-view, 5 hours, you know, so what's WrestleMania have to be? Because that was one of the things that they did to make WrestleMania special. I mean,
17 hours there is now.
I mean, there is such a thing as too much and oversaturation. And you throw in the fact that, you know, the week before you got a 3 hour Raw, a 2 hour SmackDown, a 1 hour NXT, and then there's an NXT takeover, and then the pay-per-view, and then Raw, and then SmackDown. I mean, you're looking at 15 to 18 hours of content in a one-week period. And, I mean, it's just – I think it's too much.
Well, SmackDown, too, they're talking, could possibly be going to 3 hours, whichever – I get it. As a talent, you look at that and it gets more people paydays, but it, again, you bring up a great point of that it was always the cream of the crop that got on the pay-per-views, and that was what kind of made the pay-per-views mean something. I mean, and now it's like, what makes, like you said, the backlash any different from WrestleMania, other than now WrestleMania is way longer now, so.
Think about the fact that, you know, and I hate saying back in the day because it dates myself, but you would watch Raw, and Raw would end, and usually it ended in some kind of a cliffhanger. But regardless, you were like, God damn, I have to wait 7 whole days to find out what's going to happen, because they would give you enough and then they would take it away and you'd have to wait. And now one of the biggest complaints that people have is Raw drags on and on and on, and there's so many filler segments and there's so many recaps because they're just trying to fill the time. So it's like, I understand financially
bit from a business standpoint. Yeah.
That they're being compensated, but from, you know, is it really helping the talents? I mean, certain people are being overexposed, right? I mean, that's one of the, you know, there's a lot of things wrong with what they've done with Roman, but he's definitely been overexposed. And how many other people have been brought up in the last couple of years with, you know, the oversaturation of everything. And then now they're talking about adding even more time. I don't know. I don't like it.
It's one of those deals. It's again, everything is from a business standpoint and making as much money. And again, not always through the performers, but on the back end and all these other back end ways where it sometimes sacrifices the product at hand, especially for the people that there's only so much in the day, time in the day. And again, there's positives and negatives to both sides of it, but it seems like it's too much. I agree with all that. So what else we got going on, Ace? Yeah.
Okay. They had a good promo with Daniel Bryan last week. And of course they didn't bother airing it on TV. It was just on, WWE.com after the show. SmackDown last week ended with Samoa Joe promising to put Daniel Bryan to sleep in their match this week. And then they had the video. Daniel Bryan said, "Hey, look, I've been put to sleep many times in my careers. Well, it happens when I get to sleep as I get back up." That Dan said he could shred Joe's ACL, putting him on the shelf for 9 months. I just like seeing Daniel Bryan with that kind of edge. It looks like he's using the heel hook as his finisher now.
Okay.
I actually remember his first match at NXT, he used that heel hook and on Jericho, and it just looked brutal. And I kind of like that they're bringing it back. And like I said, it's cool that they're giving Daniel Bryan a little bit more of an edge. So,
yeah, I mean, I know he's mentioned evolving his style even more here, coming back and trying to adjust even more. And and maybe with the grappling and more submissions. How exciting that is, I don't know. But he is definitely... he's always thinking of new ways to try to be entertaining and to up his game. So it's him with an edge. It's I think having anybody whenever they're aggressive or they up the intensity, I think that will forever sell tickets. And there's a reason why they have intensity in the gorilla position before you go out, because intensity fucking sells. Whether you're 7 feet tall or 4 feet tall, if you're a believable motherfucker when you're out there, people will pay to come and see you. So it's Daniel being more intense and more aggressive is not a bad thing. JD, any thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, it's never a bad thing to have layers. And, you know, before he got injured that last time, he was essentially the underdog, you know, with the yes gimmick. And it's still over. But, you know, if you look at, you know, guys like Austin and The Rock with things that were over, they had to add layers along the way. Like, you know, Austin couldn't just say, I'm going to whip your ass every single week. He had to, you know,
there's a shelf got life a little on funny. That, yeah.
Well, he got a little funnier down the line. And, you know, The Rock was serious and then he was kind of funny and then he was serious and then he became really funny. Yeah. And it's never a bad thing to have layers. So, him adding another layer will just, you know, in combination with him toning down his ring work, you know, so he can have more longevity, hopefully.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing.
No, I think it's definitely smart on his part. And it's, you definitely got to, and you change things up and you could always go back. Again, it's Undertaker, dead man, does the biker gimmick, goes back to being the dead man. It's good just to mix it up, even if it's not a lot, just here and there, and definitely adding layers. I agree with all that. Ace?
Jumping on to Neville. Apparently Neville's wife, Natalie Slatterly, posts several photos on Instagram in March suggesting that they're leaving Florida and returning to England. It was noted by Dave Meltzer in the latest issue of the Wrestling Observer that Neville has indeed moved back to the UK, which almost surely means he's not returning to the WWE. Neville left WWE in mid-October, poorly over frustrations with his status in the company. Since quitting the company, Neville's been wanting his release from the company. He's still under a WWE contract, and his deal is frozen for the time that he's not working, which means he can't wrestle anywhere else in the world. The Observer noted that it's not known if he's being paid while his contract is frozen.
Guarantee you he's not.
Yeah, I would think so, too. It's, you know, they're saying the same situation led to Daniel Bryan and Rey Mysterio's contracts being extended, because as long as they're not active, you know, basically their contracts can be held. You know, I always liked Neville. I think he's a hell of a unique talent. He's got an incredible body for someone his size. He puts together moves you don't see anyone else doing. It's always surprised me WF wasn't able to do more with him. I mean, they've done pretty well with guys like Rollins or Daniel Bryan or Finn. You know, I'm not knocking any of those guys. They deserve the spots they've gotten. But when Neville made his roster debut, he came out wearing a fucking cape. I mean, it seemed kind of doomed in the beginning. He worked his ass off in any role they gave him, and he definitely, you know, got over at the crowd. But it just seemed like there was kind of a holding pattern with him for a long time. I think, you know, I hope he gets out of his contract. He can do some work in the indies, because I think he still has a lot to offer.
I think from everything I was told from the people I know there, that he was done with wrestling was the initial information received. How true that is, I haven't talked to Neville. I have no idea. I always got along with him, and he's a very good human being. He one of the things is when I left WWE, I had to get my ear and nose fixed because they were going to stop my pay. About 2 weeks after I left, the checks stopped, which the way around that is to get injury pay, which I had told them I was doing all along. And so I got paid all the way through to the end of my contract because I got cleared that final week weekend right before my contract expired. And I made sure to get it at the very end so that I collected my weekly paycheck until my contract expired. I would bet, just not knowing the exact specifics, if he left and he's done wrestling and he doesn't want to wrestle anymore and just whatever the reasons are, I would say chances are good he's not being paid. But he also probably doesn't care if he doesn't truly intend to wrestle anymore, which, again, I don't know if that's true or not, but that is what I heard. I thought he was used quite well towards the end, and it's hard with a guy, and again, he has great intensity, and he does a lot of the little things really, really well, on top of being a good high flyer, which doesn't make you a good wrestler, just being a good high flyer, but he did all the other things I thought really well that do make you what people would consider you being a good wrestler. But he, at his size, again, he's on the smaller side. So, again, he was on top of the cruiserweight division. But I don't know. I don't think that was necessarily the reason why he left. I think it was more maybe the lifestyle and the way things are there. And, again, he's a really good human being. But how did you perceive things from watching JD or from what you've heard or seen?
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Well, I saw Neville years ago when he was still Pac, and he was actually, you know, pretty skinny. And I remember thinking, you know, if this guy put on some weight, I mean, he was real skinny. If he put on some weight, he was probably going to, you know, have a pretty good career. And he did. I mean, Jesus Christ, he got totally jacked up, right? Which, you know, it's weird because when he was skinny, he looked taller because he's not a tall guy, right? But when he got all, you know, jacked up, he looked like a little tank. And it's sort of...
That's what I tell people about me.
It put a little more emphasis that he's not the tallest guy, but he... I mean, he had very unique high-flying skills. I mean, there's a lot of guys that do a lot of things. You know, there's a lot of shit in WWE, in Ring of Honor, in New Japan, in all the federations, and it's pretty redundant. Like,
yeah,
there's a lot of guys doing a lot of the same things.
Yep.
And he had some unique things, or he was able to put a unique spin. Like, he took it to another level as far as high flying, but he also did a lot of the little things. And he also had really good intensity. Like he's a throwback in that sense. Like he worked like a guy that made you believe or could make you believe that he was, you know, fucking his opponent up. And at the end of the day, whether, you know, I don't know the circumstances, if he just got, it was the system itself, which, you know, anybody who's really being honest with themselves, the system is not about wrestling or pro wrestling. I mean, it has changed, you know, people like to throw the word evolved around, but it's changed.
Absolutely.
And it's not what most of us grew up watching. It's not even close. I mean, there's still a ring and there's still people wearing spandex doing wrestling moves, but it's very different. And I think maybe somebody like him, when he got there, maybe he realized like, this is not what I wanted to do, or whatever the circumstances may be. But at the end of the day, if you don't want to do it, there's absolutely nothing wrong with walking away. I mean, you can still, accidents happen. Even if it isn't an accident, there's wear and tear, and you destroy your body day by day. So, you know, whether it's passion or desire or whatever it is, if you don't want to do it, you should not be doing it. There's no reason to put your neck on the line. And from a creative standpoint, as a talent, you know, the fact that everything is so micromanaged now, I can absolutely see people being unfulfilled creatively, not being able to paint the picture they want to paint, so to speak. So anybody who walks away on their own terms, I'm all for that.
Yeah, and I can say, and from being there. And if you remember, he won. It was, and I think we've mentioned this before. I've always said I feel like he realized how the way things worked up there quicker than most people, because he won Newcomer of the Year, which was a legit real fan vote on for, and not to say that the Slammys, that all of those were in every year are all fan, like, I don't know how much of those are rigged or not rigged, but for whatever this, I just remember them saying this year it was everything, the legit votes, and he got Newcomer of the Year, and then that night they had him lose. They didn't take that and use that as momentum to give him a push with that or something, because the people that voted, and they said, we like this guy, we buy into this guy, and they didn't do anything with him. And I remember just seeing him and just feeling for him at that moment, and I'd already gone through my little situation and whatnot, and it's just like, damn, like, what more can you do with that? Like, you have the momentum of them, they're telling you they like you. It's just the way things work, though. If it's not in the plans, it's not in the plans. But again, if you're not happy, and it takes courage to walk away, and people should respect that, I feel. So I'm happy for him. Well, if he's happy too.
That's one of those things too, where, you know, whether it was a shoot or not with the voting, going forward with it, you know, the way we think of it, which is logically and with common sense in terms of booking, you would think that it would be emphasized, and once upon a time it would have been. And I swear to God, I hate using terms like back in the day and once upon a time.
I'm okay with you doing that. We're all getting old though. So I think it's, but
here's the thing. In my opinion, there were a lot of aspects of the wrestling business that were not broken and they didn't need to be fixed.
Yeah.
You can always evolve, and, you know, because wrestling evolved from this, you know, Jesus Christ, 100 years ago at the carnival, like, obviously, but there were a lot of things about it that were not broken that they fixed or changed, and it didn't have to be. And it's, you know, that's one of those things where, you know, that would be like winning King of the Ring and then going on a streak of losing. Like, they wouldn't have done that.
No, yeah, 15, yeah. 20
years ago, right? Like, what's the point? So then what does it say about him winning the King of the Ring? It was a fluke, right?
Yeah.
And then they'll say, but, you know, it doesn't matter because this is just a show. Well, what is this show supposed to be about then?
That, like, was the cool part of wrestling, by the way. Seeing natural, organic things. That is what I feel like. Everybody knows it's scripted entertainment and whatever word you want to use for it, physical entertainment. But it was those natural, organic moments and things like that where you felt like you were watching the guy's success and you were a part of it, where I feel like that element is completely gone. And I understand fans' frustrations from that point of view, because that is something that is completely gone, I feel like, in wrestling.
Totally gone.
Yeah.
Totally.
Great point.
Sorry.
That's a great point. And that's part of the thing with Roman. And I understand it from a business standpoint, and it's stability, and it's a guy, he sells merchandise, and I love Roman. I think he's absolutely amazing, and none of this, anything is, and people, I think people that boo him actually like him still. It's just a matter of, I think it's not him they're booing necessarily. It's the system that has been created out of this. And it started with Cena and that. And again, I'm of the belief you let whoever gets hot, get hot, and you run with it and you capitalize on it. And it's like, if Daniel Bryan is hot for 6 or 7 or 8 months, you fucking run with it. If Roman surpasses him for the next year, you run with Roman. And you just, it's just a, it, this day and age, with everyone with their phones and ADD and short attention spans anyways, I just think it makes for a better product overall, and you get to see guys, and guys can always still stay at a high level, but it makes it raises the competition level amongst talents, because you see that there actually is an opportunity for you to grab that brass ring and not just all of a sudden get really, really over and then boom, shut down. Or, you know what I mean? So that's like, I just, yeah. It's completely different nowadays, but it's the way that's the way they choose to do it. So,
I mean, do you think it's just because they're afraid of, you know, any one person getting bigger than the WWE as a whole? I mean, guys like Zack Ryder.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what everyone you hear like the old timers and guys talk about it. I'm telling you, it's just the way that they do business now, and it's completely by design. And I don't know And I go back and I can just Triple H telling me, Ryan, there will never be another marquee superstar here ever again when my first contract negotiations were coming up. So that always just stuck with me. Hearing that and being there and having that information firsthand told to me and seeing how the way things are done time and time again, for whatever reason, that's just the way they choose to do business. Now, whether that's because guys burned them in the past, which again would come back because probably the way they were being treated, which is why they got burned to begin with, but it is what it is.
No, I don't think they're afraid of any one person becoming bigger than the WWE because the WWE is bigger than ever.
Yeah.
I think it's a situation of the business model has changed drastically, you know, and this all revolves around why the quality of the product isn't there. And that is absolutely not a reflection of any of the talent. It's a situation of back in the day, here we go again. They needed ticket sales. They needed pay-per-view buy rates. They had to put out a product because that's how they made their money.
Yeah.
They didn't have any sponsors, or they had very little sponsors, or, you know, they only had sponsors at sporadic times a year, maybe just for pay-per-views. You know, remember fucking Karate Fighters used to sponsor yep. Survivor Series, right?
Yeah. Wonder okay, what those so deals were now, for, by the way. How much do you think they made for Karate Fighters?
I don't know.
If anybody out there could get that information, and please send it to Asian Joe or myself, I would greatly appreciate that. Well, Howard Fink, if you're listening, send that in, Fink.
Yeah, they've built the brand to where the brand sells itself. So it's crazy to think, but they don't need a Rock. They don't need a Cena. They don't need an Austin. And when you look at it from a business point of view, and I mean, I know some guys still talk like this, like Austin and stuff on their podcasts will say, like, you know, why wouldn't they want a superstar? Well, because they don't need it. And
yeah,
in the past, there's headaches that come along with superstars, and rightfully so. I mean, each superstar is his own brand, but that herein lies the issue of the only brand that needs to be spoken of is WWE.
Yeah.
And if you look at the amount of money that they're raking in, I know I call them backdoor deals because it's indirect of the talent. So whether any of that money gets passed on to the talent, I have no idea. But they're making money off their name. It's just like when, you know, a Nike or an Adidas, they get rid of a major name if there's a scandal or maybe the person's not performing as well in their sports, but the brand is still making the money. So from a business point of view, on one hand, I see it and I understand it and it makes sense. But then herein lies the flip side of it is like, well, how much does the product suffer? Do you restrict inadvertently certain talents from getting as big as they could be?
Yeah.
You know, it just seems like there's a bit of a conflict there.
I agree with you 100% on that. And there is. All right, Ace. We got the YouTube show going here, so we're on time constraints for when we got to take breaks. We could take one more piece of news.
Perfect. Okay. Just kind of in the same vein. They announced John Morrison, John Mundo, John Impact, whatever you want to call him, is going to be on Survivor next year for season 37. You know, like Zack Ryder and Neville, I never understood how WWE wasn't able to just print money when it came to John Morrison, John Hennigan, whatever you want to call him. I mean, he has a look that screams superstar. You know, he had that ring talent to match. You know, I know a lot of people said he couldn't cut a promo, but I thought the third segment he did were really damn entertaining. You know, after leaving WWE, he's managed to have a pretty good run with Lucha and Impact, and he's done some acting with Boone, and he's playing Eternal Warrior, Ninjak versus the Universe. So
yeah.
I kind of hope the stint on Survivor will continue to expand them, because he's probably my favorite active wrestler right now. So
yeah, he I know they've made offers for him to go back. And I just don't think
I don't see him doing it. I don't see him taking it up. Yeah.
I like John a lot. He's super talented. I got to work with him briefly before he left, and I broke my ankle actually, and then I believe he left and went on. He's done great things, and he keeps his options open, and I think it's just one of those. There's guys he was in he was used a certain way there. I always thought he was popular or he was liked. He did cool things, and he's a good human being. So I think he. I think eventually he returns at some point when he wants. And in the meantime, he's having fun doing what he loves. So, JD.
And at this point, if he returns, I'm not sure it'd help his brand. You know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that he needs to be quite honest. It's a lot of guys. Sometimes just it's personal reasons. That, you know. And maybe give him closure on his career. I don't know. Everyone has their different things. But, again, going back to that full-time schedule is a whole other – it doesn't leave a lot of room for doing other things either. So, but
– yeah, right. I think he I'll just chime in there real quick. I think he – you know, he's been doing things on his own terms for a while, and things are working out pretty well for him. He's able to be his own boss and yep. – sort of, you know, do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. And there's, you can't put a price on that. And if he went back full time, he would basically, you know, probably be giving up most, if not all of that. So yeah. I'm sure there's a discrepancy there in terms of compensation on what he feels like he should have to go back to give all that up. And the fact that he stands his ground and all that shit, good for him.
I agree completely. It's he's going to continue to have success because he's a hard worker and he has a good positive outlook on everything. So, all right, Ace, is anything you want to go ahead and plug for this before we talk to you again next week?
Sure. You can find Ace Mike Malero on criticalblast.com. Follow me on Facebook and Twitter at SkitchNM. Last week, me and my sister saw Harry Potter and the Cursed Child on Broadway, and I'll be posting my review later this week on Critical Blast.
Good deal. Awesome. All right, Ace, you have a great week, and we will talk to you again then. We're going to take another break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
I am the ultimate Ryback, and I'm here to tell you about Feed Me More Nutrition. It is the ultimate premium in sports nutrition. Wake up, unlimited energy. I take it non-stop, and I am all the unlimited energy from the gods above. My blood, my skin, the energy is pouring through my system. The big guy, all natural testosterone booster, will be giving you erections to the heavens. And if you need protein, protein builds muscles upon muscles. My I'm so hungry, premium grass-fed prebiotic enhanced whey protein isolate is what you need. Fat burn body fat with Shell Shock Extreme Fat Burner, the most powerful fat burner on the market today. Feed me more nutrition. Save 10% with Podcast 10. Available on feedmemore.com and Amazon.
All right, and we're back. Man, what a week. So it's we got a Phoenix was at the Knights game. The Knights just won.
Yeah, 6-4 against the Washington Capitals. So
it's Vegas is. I was looking at tickets, by the way. I saw one of the hot attractive females I follow on Instagram had a one of her stories was, anybody want to take me to the Knights game? And I was looking because this is, I'm going to share this story with you. She's a friend of the girl who JD I've talked to you about, the at Dave and Buster's, the manager. And I went out of my way. Okay. I put some time in on this one, brought her a couple coffees, went and hung out at work. And we'd made plans on her day off to go on a date and, you know, the tales of the big guy's dating life and whatnot. And I was legitimately, she's a fitness girl, which usually is a chink in, you know, in the armor to me. Fitness girls can be a bit of a hassle. And she ended up telling me she was sick the day before, setting it up that she was not going to, my throat hurts, I feel like ass, blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh. No worries. Next day, how you doing? She goes, I feel horrible, blah, I feel like death. And then I'm watching her Instagram stories, and she's like, drinking her bang. Oh, it's a beautiful day. Oh, I'm just like going to the gym, gang, fam, blah, I'll get my nails done. And I'm like, oh, okay, doesn't look that bad.
Yeah.
And, but okay. And so later on, and check in a little later, and we were supposed to do something. And then she's like, said her brother, her brother had died. That was the date her brother died. And that she felt like she didn't think she would be good to be around tonight. And so I, again, no problem. No more questions asked. She then later that night has Instagram stories of her out at a club all night with her friends. And I'm just thinking, like, I feel like...
You know what? Nowadays, like, if you have social media, there's no way if you're going out or something like, there's absolutely no
I don't
way
even give a shit she went out. I just don't
lie. Yeah. That's like a blatant lie. Yes. It's like, oh, by the way, yeah, let's have dinner. It's like, oh, like, I'm not feeling well. And then you're, you know, it's like, oh.
We've been talking for a bit. This isn't like, so for whatever reason, whatever, she ended up, like, I just recognized signs right away not to waste my fucking time. Like, yeah. It's just a headache.
Yeah.
But she has a hot friend that I followed. And that was the friend that posted the things for the hockey game.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, oh, I would love to be able to take her to the hockey game.
What were the prices for those hockey games?
Tickets were starting at around $1,500 per seat, but that was for the embarrassing seats that you couldn't take a date on. Fuck. Like, it was like the back of the fucking arena.
$1,500?
And they quickly escalated to the high 2,000s. And then if you wanted to be, for the seats that I would have wanted to, would have probably been like at least $3,500 a piece. Shit. And I go, you know what? Not fucking worth it.
And you know,
somebody sent me a screenshot with that. It's row 4 is like 2740. Yeah. Section 14 is 3400 and section 16 is 5629.
Yeah, I was looking for the options and I was like, there was no good options. Like, hey, I say fuck it, I'll spend $3,000 just to prove a point to get this.
So how much? But the thing is, though, the question is, how much hockey do you know?
I know there's a player named Ryan Reeves on there.
spells
his name a little differently than mine.
Yeah, so apparently not a lot.
Fleury is the guy.
Fleury, yeah.
I used to watch hockey as a kid. I've actually been watching hockey.
Sure.
A little bit, trying to. What's another? Is it Carlson?
Yeah, Willem Carlson.
I got three players. Fucking. I'm no, but I don't give a shit about hockey. Yeah. I used to watch it with my dad all the time.
Okay.
And the Kings, all the games.
Oh, yeah.
I loved hockey as a kid. It was just, I played baseball, football, but I just fell off with it. But watching the Knights, I was legitimately, I was like, man, it would be really fun to go to a game and have some beers and just.
You know what? Like the intro, like I saw videos of the intro. It's like, amazing. It's like, you know, like, what was it? Medieval times,
yeah,
you know, it was like the knights, the fortress, and stuff like that. It's like, it's amazing spectacle.
We're being spoiled right off the bat with our first sports team.
It's the entertainment capital of the world. Of course, you gotta have, you know, lights and drum sets and you know, drum line and stuff like that.
The excitement of the Las Vegas. We've never had a sports team, and to see everybody's legitimately.
Vegas does have sports teams, but they're minor leagues.
Yeah, yeah, so, those don't count. Like I'm talking, nobody
like major. Four sport, you know, team.
You don't see people like repping 51 stuff on Instagram, and social media for the baseball.
Like, let's say if the Knights do win like the Stanley Cup, and then the Raiders come, and let's say the Raiders never win a Super Bowl or you know whatever, like people are gonna be like, what the fuck, man, dude, our team did it in a year. What's up, Raiders?
Oh, yeah.
You've been around for a while, so why haven't you won a Super Bowl?
Yeah, it's no, the Knights, nobody expected this, especially the sports books. So
500-1 in the beginning of the season.
$20 bet, what does that come out to?
About
10,000 or 20?
Wait, $20 bet? It'd be 100,000.
Jesus, man, my math was just off by
100,000 or 10,000?
10,000, sorry, 10,000.
Okay, I was correct.
I said 200.
Thank God, I was gonna say I was fucking off by only off by 90,000.
But I think you know, if you bet $100, I think you obviously $100 is $500,000, and then
So this is
I'm Asian. I supposed to know math. I'm fucking.
You're the tech guy here. Yeah, you're supposed to put it in your calculator and get it for me, so I don't sound like a dumb fuck. Big day for the show. Conversation with the Big Guy. We're doing our YouTube show. We're going to be getting the kinks out, so I'm sure there'll be people leaving shitty comments on something that they're not happy with. We will do our best.
They'll leave comments that have nothing to do with the show.
Yeah. They don't watch it. They just,
like,
Ryback fucking sucks. But we will be working on those as time goes on and getting the kinks out on that end and whatnot. And we got a deal here, just for people listening, that the camera that I bought only has a 30-minute time limit per recording thing that we then it resets and we have to restart it.
Yeah.
So we're going to be keeping the show to about an hour and a half and doing 30-minute segments or something falling in between that a little bit. So it's until we get a better camera, because I thought buying an $800 camera would have been all right. But yeah. Yours was like 1,000 and something.
Yeah, it's a little more, but you can record.
It was the next one. There's no recording limit on it, right?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't have a recording limit.
What can you do? But we got JD joining us here. And JD, just for the people listening at home, because we have a strong wrestling audience, how many years did you perform?
Oh, 15.
Man.
Give or take a little bit.
I just like people to, and again, everything with you can be looked up under JD Michaels, though, correct?
Or JD Maverick. I mean,
JD Maverick, yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that was never updated. You know, like the Wikipedia used to be real active, and it wasn't the last couple of years and stuff, because I used to have to send stuff to the guy who looked after it, and I just didn't give a shit after a while, because it was just what for, and it didn't change the bank account.
Yeah.
And but I wrestled 15 years, and that wasn't like, there's a lot of indie guys, they'll wrestle for like 3 or 4 years and then they'll take a couple of years off, and then they'll wrestle for a couple of years, take a couple of years off, and then they'll be like, yeah man, I wrestled 15, 16, 17 years, but they took 8 years off in there. I didn't take any years off.
No, you were, for anybody out there, that's why I just wanted to just let them be aware of your credentials. You were a guy that was actually always on WWE's radar, and for whatever reasons, things don't always make sense. You never were there, but you were a guy that I think a lot of guys respected and always a lot of people would consider a good worker. And it's and you have a lot of, you're one of my favorite people to talk to as far as wrestling, because you're very insightful, as you guys will hear later on the show here during the wrestling news and whatnot. And we share a lot of similar viewpoints on wrestling and it's the current product, and so thank you for joining the show, because it's I think it makes for a little bit better wrestling stuff later on when we get into that. I just think it's good to have someone to bounce stuff off of, and Ace does a good job of getting the news, and it's looking forward to all that. But what is going on this week, Asian Joe? You anything? Any of those Vegas fucking pool parties?
Well, I went there, but I just want to say that I am a league champion in my bowling league. So, but actually, I bowled in two leagues. So okay. We won first place in my Wednesday league, and also first place in but two different teams too.
Congratulations!
So, thank you very much.
You asked me to join your bowling league.
Yeah,
and I just said this was after. And we're going to talk about my Airbnb property here, which is up and running right now, by the way. But I had just gotten my a notice, and I was a little distracted. I was just like, I can't add driving across town and bowling. I can't add any more things, as much as I really want to do that.
Yeah.
I just think it would stress me the fuck out as far as cause I have the two bowling balls and pair of bowling shoes. And I will really get into this.
Exactly.
But I don't want to get into this, because it will distract me from what I need to be focusing on.
I know. But it's good, it's a good way to maybe a couple hours, this, because I like bowling, because it just, it's very competitive, but it releases, this takes your mind off things.
Yeah.
And so it's like,
I need more physical. I need stuff where if I get my ass kicked, I could physically fucking take control. Not like, oh, I got to pick up this, what's the fucking hardest split in fucking bowling?
7-10.
Yeah, the 7-10 split. Like, God, it just seems like, yeah, I don't know. Or I'd become a raging alcoholic.
dealing, that could be it.
Watching all these guys just kicking my ass every week that take it so seriously.
Yeah.
I would be at the lake, like, Ryan, what are you doing? Oh, I'm at fucking Texas, fucking bowling at 1 a.m., fucking working on my form. So I just, I know.
You know, if this wrestling doesn't work out, it's always bowling.
How,
right?
By the way, how great, you know, take away the supplement stuff and everything going that route and like within the investing. That I leave WWE because my back gives out on me and my shoulder, but right. I rehab myself through stem cell therapy just enough to then go and become a professional bowler. You think I could return, JD, with that and fucking get a little bit of like the Brock treatment with that?
You could change your name to Ryback Munson.
Yeah, that would be. Yeah. That's exactly what one of the creative writers would come up with, by the way, and. Me and Wade Barrett used to talk about a wrestling character all the time called Ned Clyde, and his catchphrase is "Stee Reich," and that's it. And just the bowling fucking ball and the pins fucking exploding on the Titantron, and he comes out every time, and they set up the fucking pins at the bottom of the fucking ramp, and Ned Clyde comes out for his entrance and always fucking either bowls a strike or he doesn't. If he bowls a strike, he's fucking gonna get a bit of a push.
Right.
If he fucking doesn't, he's a fucking comedy character. the next Santino, but that was always, we came up with some things for Ned Clyde.
Yeah.
I know old Hardbody will appreciate hearing that name on the podcast. But so a lot of pool parties though here in Vegas. I saw you there with one of your friends.
I was with Emily Addison and the Instagram, you know, famous the fat Jewish guy or okay. whatever. So he was there promoting his like his bubbly wine. It's called Babe. It's like a rosé wine or champagne. I don't know what it is, but it's like wine in a can. And classic. So Sapphire Pool, they like, I guess it's pink, and so they turn the pool into a pink color.
Oh wow!
So I'm looking down. Is like, dude, it looks like if someone peed in the pool and it just had a wrong.
Yeah,
wrong
color. You wouldn't know.
So, but yeah, it looked like someone peed pink.
What's the deal with going to those pool parties? I see like there's these beautiful Brazilian girls that work out at the gym, the LVAC, and they're always posting. They go to these pool parties all the time, and. Like, what's the deal with living here and going? Do you have to go through the casinos to actually go? Or is there a separate entrance where you just park and, like... Yeah, I always wondered that.
Well, I think there's certain pools where you have to go through, like, the parking garage directly to the pool. I know Rehab at Hard Rock.
You just pay a fee to go in and then...
Yeah, I mean, they pay a fee or maybe locals are cheap or locals are free depending on what days. I think
places are packed though.
Yeah, I think Mandalay Bay, you don't have to go directly into casino, but you can go in. I think you go into the lobby and then to the pool. So and yeah, I think there are some pools where you do have to go through the casinos or through the hotel. Most of the times the entrance to the pools are close to the entrance to your hotel rooms.
Yep.
So you don't have to, but I mean there are pools out there that you do have to walk. You know, in your swim trunks or your bathing suit.
Yeah. While people, I was wondering that. That's what I always just wondered how that all works.
Yeah, but at Sapphire, it's pretty much a strip club, and then in the back of the strip club,
the pool is at the strip club.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Sapphire Pool is right behind Sapphire. Ah, so, yeah, but I mean, I've been trying to get you to come out and come hang out.
But, I got my pool here. I'm just trying to get people here.
you gotta keep in those Brazilians.
Gather your group of friends and say, "Yeah, okay. We're going to a pool party." Yeah. Like, what the fuck is this?
All the way in North Vegas, it's like,
why is there a pineapple and watermelon raft with a donut? Like, this is your idea of a good time? Hey guys, me hammered going down the slide.
Yeah, yeah.
What a headache. So I will say. So you contact me for the bowling thing, and so I got my property now on Airbnb. And the day before it was supposed to start getting rented out, I was booked for the next 6 weeks, and it started filling in. And the city of North Las Vegas served me a citation stating that I can't that Airbnb is not allowed in the zone of North Las Vegas, which doesn't make any sense because everything on Airbnb has the different cities, and it says North Las Vegas is the perfect place.
Sure.
And there's no restrictions, by North Las Vegas, and you don't have to do any like business. Like North Las Vegas, you got to get a business license for each property, which was $500, and then I believe it might have even got bumped up to $1,000.
Oh wow!
Because the hotels are really fucking fighting this, from what I've been told. But North Vegas is so far away that it never should have was an issue. But now my real estate girl, Megan was telling me she doesn't know if they just changed the laws drastically, just all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And or if it's a deal with the HOA. I have to find out. But they took an extended Memorial Day weekend break.
Of course.
They left the notice Thursday. She left her cell phone email and then the email and the phone number for the office. Nobody, probably 10 different calls and 5 emails, nothing. So
there wasn't a law listed on the citation though, was there?
No, it was, it's why I called them back and just simply said, I have some questions, please. If you could return my call or my email, I'd like to be able to, I don't want to be doing anything that, would be considered illegal or if it's not allowed. Problem is, I don't know if it's just the fact, because it says nothing about getting a business license on there. Mm-hmm. If it's just a matter of, because I have a business license for Feed Me More for the house. You have to. If it's just a matter of getting a business license, that's a one-time fee. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
And it's because there's more money to be made on my property going through Airbnb rather than renting it out furnished. How much? I don't know that because that's what these next few months we're going to kind of tell me that information to then gauge that. But the more reviews you get and everything on Airbnb, the more your place rents out.
Right.
So I didn't want to cancel. The notice is till June 7th that I have to act on this or to get whatever. So I said, fuck it. I have four reservations. I've already had two now up until the 7th. I'll keep those because if I canceled them, that you start getting bad. It looks bad.
Bad reviews, yeah.
Yeah. And so I was like, I don't want to screw myself over right off the bat. Mm-hmm. So I was like, and this lady doesn't answer my calls or emails. So... because and she, even though she left her cell phone, text her even, can you please give me a call back?
What was the HOA's that like you talked?
There's nothing. I've not heard anything from the HOA on that, and I said, that's why I because it was, there was nothing in North Las Vegas. Everything that I had seen is and there's all these other listings in North Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So again, I won't know until I speak to them. I should have more information next week, but so I found a girl I'm going to be renting it out to. She's going to be moving from Cleveland, a lovely young lady.
How do you know her?
She's a stripper. Yes. But
is this surprising, JD? No, for as long as you've known him?
Talking to the mic, Asian Joe.
Is this a surprise?
No. People helping people.
No.
Sure. I'm helping a young lady. She needs a place to stay. She's willing to pay rent. Rent the house out to her. It's just helping a lovely young lady out. But
she's gonna ruin your life.
Good Samaritans don't judge.
Yeah, she'll probably be my next girlfriend though. In all seriousness,
let's hope she doesn't listen to the podcast.
Oh, problem. About 99.9% sure she doesn't. Not yet, anyways. We'll figure out what's going on with that. But I ended up. I've been playing. I didn't get my cleaners in place. Because this all happened, and I had the cleaners. I had two different cleaners' numbers, and I was gonna call and start getting it all set up. Because you have a cleaner's fee of $25 on there. I'd imagine I'd be able to shop around and probably find something for $25 to $40 per clean to go in there and do a quick sweep, wash everything. I could fucking, you know, whatever, and it wouldn't be that hard to because it's 5 minutes down the road for me. But so I had the first two guests. It's gone great. They've all been...
Have you used the August?
Yeah, the August app. Everyone loves it. It's super simple, effective.
Yeah.
And I already just got a couple 5-star reviews with the first two guests. But I've been having to go there and do the cleaning myself. So I was the last 2 days... Like, I'm just like, what the fuck am I doing? Doing dishes and, like, washing.
So Ryback the cleaner now.
Yeah, just so you guys know, those first two guests, I fucking cleaned up after you. But, which isn't going to be the case. I have a feeling if the Airbnb thing is off, it's get these first four people and then that's going to be it. Yeah. Then I got to rent it out. And that girl's not moving here till July.
Okay.
So July 1st, so. But what a headache. It's...
Dude, you spent all that money to get that place.
I would have just rented it out unfurnished. Yeah. I wouldn't have spent $10,000 to furnish everything or whatever it was. Just
You know what? You know what's coming on Twitter, right? Ryback is in such bad shape that he's having to clean.
Yeah,
clean.
Do chores. He's having to do chores. Now, I got to just say, though, when you told me the other day that there were some comments on Twitter, you know, speaking of the Airbnb property in a negative light, it's just like, Jesus fucking Christ, people. You know,
it's insane.
It's one thing to be a mark and live in the mark world and not really spend much time in reality. That's fine. I'm not judging you. Nobody's judging you. But, you know, when you're talking about a situation of an investment and something that's costing hundreds of thousands of dollars, in addition to the fact that you own a $1 million home and you have hundreds of thousands of dollars in investments, it's just, you know, in the stock market, whatnot, it's just, it's ridiculous that they try to put a negative spin. I mean, they clearly, this is a clear definition of why there, I mean, there's lots of reasons why, but this is one reason why there is such a huge gap between people who have the money and people who don't.
Yeah.
Because it's how they think.
Yep.
And regardless if they like you or hate you, you know, from a wrestling standpoint, how you can't say, wow, he's investing in a property is, you know, that's smart.
Yeah.
Rather than, like, I don't know, pissing your money away on something
or
else.
Or just living,
like,
off of it. And not, There was another comment today, by the way, that, oh, I heard you're struggling now and you're renting out a place on Airbnb. And I just literally, you know what, blocked. I'm not even, but I responded on it. Have you, look up, Jesus Christ, what was the fucking, can't even remember the tweet now. Sorry, I told him to look up passive income. And just kept it, have a great Memorial Day.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you not understand? Like, what do you, like, there's no winning with these people. That's what it's just like.
There's not. And I mean, it's, first of all, they're not in touch with reality. Like I said, there's a lot of people, and I mean, it's not all of them, but there's a lot of marks, and they live in kind of like a mark world.
Yeah.
And
the hard
it's
mark
a world. Well, it's filled of, I can say whatever I want, whenever I want, and there's no consequences.
Yep.
And then it's the fact that they feel that they have a really big voice because they bought a ticket to a show or they bought somebody's T-shirt. And then they also feel extra privileged because whether it's through Twitter or Instagram, they can leave you a comment or a tweet and they feel like, I can give him a jab and he can't do anything about it. Worst case scenario, he blocks me. Okay, fine, right?
Yeah.
But to speak ignorantly and to... I mean, you want to have an example of somebody talking out of their ass. It's like, so hold on. Maybe Grant Cardone is hard up for money because he mentions, you know, Cardone Capital on Instagram every day. Forget the fact that he just
or
bought
he
a
promotes
fucking,
stuff. Yeah.
A G65 jet $65
Can you imagine? I'm sure he gets a shit ton of hate too. With all these guys, that's what people don't. It's just.
Well, I'm sure he does too. But the fact is, you know, he promotes. You know, obviously, in addition to everything else he sells, like the Cardone U and all that other stuff, he's always talking about real estate and multifamily homes, and he mentions Cardone Capital every single day, and. You know, what do you think? Like, this guy's living in a
it's called
multi-million
hustling.
Dollar.
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, like, he's full of shit. He's multi-million dollar suite on Miami Beach and his fucking $50-60 million jet. Like, you know, that he just upgraded from his, like, whatever it was, $20 million jet, that piece of shit. Like, you know. Like,
yeah.
He doesn't know. He must be hard up. And it's just when I have no problem with people thinking whatever they want to think. You can't change the way people think.
Yeah.
But when they say things in public or in a public setting like social media and they're so wrong, like, you know, you start to think about, like, holy, you know, the reflection of the society.
Yeah.
In some regards, because it's like, how can you just, you know, I mean, really, you're so out of touch.
It happens. And this just happened, by the way, before we take our first break here, the Roman situation I just saw. Did you see that? Where there was a situation where I guess a guy, a grown man, went up to him while he was feeding his son and with his daughter, or feeding his daughter and with his son, whom he's on the road nonstop. And he told the guy sorry, but I guess the guy stormed off and was pissed off because he did not want to take a photo with him because he was with his kids.
Yeah.
And they went on social media and spun the story and said that it was a little girl that came up to him, and that wasn't the case. And he had to clear that up. But it's just like these people, they're evil. And they know that that fan, no wrestler's ever rude. You're allowed to say no thank you mm-hmm. for things. And it is, you're not entitled to anything. You're allowed to say no thank you to people.
Yes.
And most of the guys or girls do. And this one person went then on social media and tried to make him look even worse mm-hmm. and said it was a little girl, which is, I guarantee you, in that situation, he talks to that girl a little differently than he does that grown man.
Yeah.
Because that grown man should fucking know better, not mm-hmm. be a goddamn fucking idiot.
Yeah.
But they are.
Oh, my God. Here's a quick little story. So in Backlash was in Edmonton right after WrestleMania 20. I can't remember what year that was, 2004 maybe. And at the time, I was talking with the Canadian president at the time, Carl DeMarco.
Yeah.
And he told me that the hotel the talent was going to be at, and he said that, you know, he told me specific people to go look for after the show and to try and, you know, have a drink with them and just open up lines of communication, because he had opened up communication with Stanford from Canada. So I go to the hotel.
This is the TV hotel?
Yeah, after Backlash.
Right. Hold on, JD. I don't want to cut. We're going to take a break right here. And when we come back, we're going to continue this story, because you've told me this and it's great. And we'll be right back after these messages. Hey guys, this is the big guy Ryback, and I want to personally say thank you to you guys, our great listeners and supporters, for an amazing 2017. 2018 is surely going to be even better. Feed Me More Nutrition, my natural premium sports nutrition company, had a phenomenal first year, and that's thanks to you. We are adding Finish It Branched Chain Amino Acid Electrolyte Pump Matrix to the lineup for 2018 and have even more exciting custom formulas coming in the upcoming months. If you've been putting off getting in better shape and getting healthy for not only you, but your loved ones, now is the time to do it. Whether it's consuming more lean protein, burning some unwanted pounds, increasing your natural testosterone and sex drive, or ramping up your energy levels, Feed Me More Nutrition has you covered. As always, positive Amazon reviews are greatly appreciated. 2018 is your year. Get hungry. Stay hungry. Feed Me More. And we're back. All right. Sorry to cut you off there, JD. Didn't buy an expensive enough camera, apparently, so it's...
Yeah,
so
$800 for a camera is not
is
enough.
It not? Yeah, yeah. Biggest $800 I just wasted right there, so... Anyways, on to this suspenseful story. You're at the TV hotel.
And most of the guys ended up going through a back entrance, and hardly anybody, you know, came down. But Flair came down, and there was a family there that he met. I don't know who they were. And they sat down because it was a full restaurant in the lobby. And, you know, I was just sort of sitting off to the side with another worker, and I had my resume, 8x10s, DVD, you know, a fucking sheet of paper with all the promotions I worked for, and, you know, just my wrestling resume, which really didn't mean shit. But anyways, a couple of fans strolled in. And Bischoff was at the bar by himself, I remember, and he saw the fans, and he finished his beer, and he left. And so there was just Flair sitting with this family. There was, I don't remember, maybe four or five people. These marks, they were drunk, and guy walks right up to Flair and says, "Can I have your autograph?" And they had ordered food, but it hadn't come yet. And Flair said, "I'll tell you what, buddy. If you just go sit over there and let me finish my dinner, I'll take a picture with you. I'll sign whatever you want me to sign. But just, I'm hungry. You know, I wrestled tonight. I'm with these lovely people. Just let me finish my dinner."
Relax for a minute. Yep.
He was very polite. And so this guy goes, and I mean, there was probably 20 tables, 30 tables in this restaurant. It was huge. And the guy goes and sits like one or two tables away, and he's leaning over on the edge of the chair on the top, staring at Flair.
Yeah.
And, you know, a couple of minutes had passed, and I mean, you could tell that the guy was drunk. So he tried again, and the food still hadn't even come yet. And Flair says, "Hey man, I told you, just let me finish my food."
He didn't understand what he just laid out to him. He did not understand
that. No.
Okay.
And he just says, "Look, let me finish my food and I'm all yours." Super polite. I thought, wow, you know, for the second attempt, Flair's still. So about 10 minutes later, food still hadn't arrived because they probably just had ordered when the guy first came up. He goes up to Flair again. And he had a chair from the pay-per-view, so he must have had like a floor seat or whatever.
Yeah.
And he says, "Hey, Rick, can you sign my chair?" And Flair snapped his head and his face got beat red. And he's like, "Look, pal, I already told you twice to let me finish my food. And I said, I'll do whatever you want." And his face is getting like beat red. He turns. He's like, "I'll take a picture with you. I'll sign your chair. I'll sign anything you want. But just let me finish my food." And the guy goes, literally, he goes, "Fuck you, Flair. I bought a ticket to see you tonight. You can't even sign my shit. Yep. Go fuck yourself." Jeez. And he took the chair and he threw it at the glass door.
Jesus.
And he
this
missed
is what you're, we're dealing door. With. People need to hear these stories. Yeah. This has happened to every wrestler.
He missed the door.
Of course he missed the door.
Yeah.
Wait, what do you mean he missed the door?
Oh, man. At least there was...
He threw the chair and hit a little girl in the head. He fucking missed the window.
There's glass everywhere, so you would think that if he missed the door, he would have knocked out, you know, one of the floor-to-ceiling windows.
There's got to be a security camera somewhere. He seriously
Flair popped out of his chair, and he loosened up his tie. Oh. And it's like, you know, it was straight up like promo, but there was... some kind of security that came in and they took the guy outside and he picked up the chair. And as soon as he got outside,
I love you,
there was
Rick.
A crosswalk right there. He throws the chair across the crosswalk while cars are driving and he keeps turning around, giving the double middle finger and he's screaming from outside. "Fuck you, Flair. Fuck you, Flair." And it's like, Jesus Christ. Like
this is what we deal with. I love that story. It's even better this time than the last.
That's so funny.
The best part was I don't think, you know, Flair didn't know why I was there. And me and the guy I was sitting with, we were the only other people sitting there.
Yeah.
So Flair left and he walked past our table. And I just, you know, I said, "Hello." And he said, "How you doing, guys?" And he got on the elevator. And like 3 minutes later, the waiter came up and he had, you know, I had ordered a Coke and a beer, and my buddy ordered something, and the waiter came up with like four or five of each, and he said, "Compliments of Mr. Flair."
Oh wow!
Ah, that's a great.
See, if you let a man eat,
yeah,
he's so much calmer because people can get hangry.
Yeah, no, it's it's happened. I've seen it happen, and I've been a part of it countless times, and. There's fans that just sometimes when they're very polite and it's they just want to say hello,
yeah.
And it's awesome. That hey Ryback, just you know, I just want to say hi. They don't even want to. Joe Rogan was just talking about this. Everybody feels they want fucking pictures to put on their social media.
Of course.
And outside of four kids who just don't, it's an entirely different thing.
Yeah.
But grown adults, there's just common sense and a lot of, not saying it's not everybody, because there's a lot of very polite, great people out there. There's just a select certain portion that want it for their Facebooks to enhance their social status, to show people that their lives mean as shit, or whatever the fuck their reasons are for it. But they'll do the dumbest things in order to fulfill that need.
Well, it's funny because yesterday, Vicky Chase is a friend of mine. And also...
Yeah. You hang around a bunch of porn stars. We get an Asian joke.
But no, so she got tickets to see Jennifer Lopez. And so J-Lo.
Yeah, I saw a lot of the girls I follow posting they were at the concert
yesterday. And so she actually got a meet and greet, which was, I found out, was $1,500 to meet Jennifer Lopez.
Seems like a good investment.
Yeah. So the security made a briefing saying that, hey, Jennifer Lopez, it's just like a normal human being. Don't come up to her and grab her. It's like if you were at a store and a random person comes up to you and hugs you,
yeah,
that's going to be creepy.
That's what I try to tell people in regular everyday situations. Yeah. If you turn on your camera and start recording just any stranger at the grocery store,
yeah,
it's weird, right?
And then
you look at their face and they process it and they go, yeah. So why is it okay in this?
Right. Go ahead, JD.
Oh, no, I was going to say, perfect example just happened this weekend, actually, with my buddy up in Edmonton. He runs a high-end strip club.
Sounds like a good
guy. See a common theme here, you guys?
Yeah. We love
strip clubs. And Jeremy Piven is on tour for stand-up right now.
Mm-hmm.
And my buddy sent him a direct message on Instagram saying, hey, listen, because he was doing, I guess, like two shows up there or something. He was there for the weekend. He said, listen, when you're up here, if you want to come to the club, we'll make sure that you're off to the side and out of, you know, customer's sight. We'll make sure you're taken care of. If you don't want to drive, we'll send a limo for you. And, Piven wrote back a couple times. And he says, I don't know if I'll stop by the club. You know, I could use a little help navigating around town. I don't really know much about Edmonton. He says, cool, just let me know what you need and I'll help you out. So then next thing you know, 2 days later, Piven shoots him a direct message on Instagram with his cell number and says, here's my number. Give me your number. I'll text you when I land. So he started texting with him when he landed in Edmonton. And he said, did you get tickets to my show? If not, let me bring you to the show. So he took him to the show. And he was just real cool with him and stuff. And he straight up said to my buddy, he says, the reason that I was, you know, cool with you and gave you my number and everything is like, because you just talked to me like a regular guy. And he says, and you didn't ask me for anything. He goes, you offered me hospitality with nothing in return.
Yeah.
He goes, so I get it. He goes, you understand that I'm just a normal guy.
That's the one thing. That's the disconnect that's why I wish everybody could experience some sort of fame, and I feel like you need to truly understand it, mm-hmm. or you shouldn't have to experience that to understand it, but a lot of people don't, and it's just, we're all just regular people.
That's why I get along with a lot of people, because I don't treat them of what they do for a living. You know, I treat them as like, hey, how are you doing? You know, just like asking them, how's your day? How's things are going? You know, just like normal everyday stuff. And, you know, just don't even, you know, like when fans come up to you, it's like, dude, what you did was, you know, it was cool and stuff like that. Yeah, it's fine and dandy, but that's work, you know?
Yeah. It's just the way, just treat people normal. It goes a long way.
When Piven was just direct messaging with him, you know, he was texting me and he says, man, I don't know why he's replying to me. And I said, because you're not asking him for anything and you're not acting like a mark. Like you're not, you know what I mean? Like I said, you offered him something. You didn't ask him like, hey, do you think you could do pictures at the club or do you think you asked him for nothing. And then sure enough, like, you know, last night he goes, man, you were right. He goes, he straight up told me that the reason he was cool with me and gave me his number and stuff was because, you know, I just treated him like a normal guy.
Yeah. Well, the more you give, the more you get. That's what they say, right? If you keep that in your head, it's not to say that's always the case, but it's, I don't know. I noticed today I actually had, there was a guy, he's actually a very loyal follower, but he was, I guess it's Memorial Day today,
mm-hmm.
and I had put out a thing for the discount for Feed Me More Nutrition for the website.
Mm-hmm.
For the 20% off, but I mentioned Happy Memorial Day. Is that now? Are you guys? Does that come across as disrespectful? Because to him, it was apparently. As far as I guess, and that's what I was trying to lay. Like, and it was. I'm looking at it. He served, and for him, it's not a happy day, I guess. But I was like, well, what are you supposed to say? Because that we kind of that's what we
a lot
do
of
we,
a lot of people will say thank you for your service. Yeah, no, you know, yeah. But I never like
as far as the people. Yeah, people happy can, Memorial Day for the people that celebrate have a happy and safe Memorial Day.
Exactly.
I just never. I've always heard that.
Yeah.
So I just never. But it was interesting. It just came out. I was so curious what you.
Yeah,
thought
I mean,
of
it can be because people look at Memorial Day as just a day off. That they don't even think about.
They don't.
That
have, yeah.
For, and so I think when someone who serves. Had members of the armed force, you know, part of me, and you know, have friends and you know who died or whatever. Yep. It does hurt, you know. It just brings back, you know, bad memories.
Painful memories,
like,
yeah.
And so, yeah, it can.
That's what it has different meaning. It's different meaning for
people
depending on what your life is. And
yeah.
So I was just, I saw that. I was like, I understand
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Like,
you know, you didn't mean disrespectful. Yeah, yeah. You just meant that those people who are celebrating that enjoy it. You know. Have you know enjoy your day off and stuff like that, but the true meaning of Memorial Day is to honor and
yep.
and say thank you to the people who serve for this country.
Yep. So thank you, everyone.
Yeah.
That's no. It's I was just curious on that though, but that's the thing. And just going back to the fans on social media, just sometimes it's like you can never win.
No.
It's because everyone again does have an opinion, but I did have some good news. I got contacted by Real Good Pizza this week.
Yeah,
which have you had them, JD, the Real Good Pizzas yet?
I have one in my freezer. I haven't tried it yet. You know,
really?
a lot of build up to it, and then I saw how small it was,
yep.
And I was like, oh shit, I'm gonna have to. Here, I was actually thinking like, you know, the pizza would be sufficient.
No, these are
meal.
Personal pizzas. But they're keto friendly, so if you're doing a no carb day, they're very low in carbohydrates. They have a little bit of fat in them and very high protein. So, and I will say I absolutely love these things. And Pat actually was the one that turned me on to them. And when I first had it, I don't know if the dough is like a chicken breast. Type somebody was saying that the dough is actually made from like a chicken breast, which would explain the high protein.
Yeah.
It is, I believe, yeah. And my Asian Joe, my tech guy, looking that information up now. That the taste at first, it seemed different, but it wasn't bad. I actually liked it, but it just was different because I think whenever you hear pizza, you just instantly think, is it going to taste like Papa John's or Pizza Hut or whatever pizza, Little Caesars that you eat, Domino's. But I love them. They contacted me, though, because one of our loyal fans had contacted them and let them know that I talk about them on the podcast. So they are actually now, we're getting a new sales team, actually, also with Art19, the platform that we're hosted on, coming up in the upcoming weeks. But they reached out. They are sending me a bunch of the Real Good Pizzas and enchiladas, and they're interested in doing advertising on the podcast. So it's... thank you to Kai back out there for your loyal efforts and hooking that connection up. They actually are having a business meeting on Tuesday, I think, tomorrow.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens with that. But
yeah, the crust is all natural chicken breast with Parmesan cheese.
Yeah, it's there. I love them. I tell everyone it's really, really beneficial for the keto diet. And I just have one a day. I usually do it in the morning. I do my bacon, my lean bacon. With a Real Good Pizza, and every once in a while I'll throw in a Real Good enchilada, because I'm finding myself doing the intermittent fasting. We were talking about this, JD, earlier. My stomach is shrinking with the amount of food that I'm not able to eat as much as I was.
Yeah.
But I went to bed weighing 284 last night, and I took 12 days off from weights when I got back from Australia, which I haven't forgotten. We're going to talk all about the Australian trip the second half. Waiting on a couple things to go through, which I'll explain. It should be by next week.
Okay.
We can clear all that up, and it's a hell of a story. You're going to want to hear it. But I'm finding myself only eating three times a day now in that eight-hour period with the 16 hours of not eating. But it's getting hard. I have to eat bigger meals. But even today, before we did this podcast, I made deviled eggs, my six deviled eggs, whole eggs, which is 12 halves on that, and then two grilled chicken breasts.
Okay.
I could barely finish my chicken breast by the end. I was just, which before I would be able to eat all that and not even feel like I ate anything. That's how I've always been.
Mm-hmm.
But I constantly have been force feeding myself for so many years, and now going these 16 hours without eating, It's like, and you were mentioning this to me, my JD, my stomach is shrinking. Is that correct?
Well, that's probably what's happening. I mean, anybody who's ever been sick for an extended period of time and, you know, to where they're not eating, you know, they notice afterwards when they are able to eat again, they can't eat as much. And it's, you know, it's just like in the beginning. I remember the first time I ever went into a supplement shop when I was 18 years old. And the guy behind the counter was huge. And I said, you know, what do I got to do to be huge? And he says, you have to eat a lot. And I said, well, I can't eat a lot because I get full. You know, what am I supposed to do? And he said, he goes, you're going to have to force feed yourself. He goes, you're going to have to stretch out your stomach. And I'm thinking, like, what the fuck? You know? Yeah. And, but I never did that. I never force fed myself until 2009, and I did it as a 1 month experiment. And not only did I put on muscle, but I leaned right out because I did very low carb for the month. But I was, the amount of food, you know, I was normally doing like four meals a day, and I went to six. So I was doing, you know, a pound of chicken, a pound of steak, and one or two shakes, and I don't remember what else I was doing. But normally I would have done like 6 ounces of chicken each meal and 6 ounces of steak or whatever. But at that point it was 8 and 8. And then I just remember sitting there holding my plate going, I don't want the first bite. And I got lots of bites left.
Yeah. But, yeah. That's me right
but
now.
But then, yeah. And then the same thing was eventually, cause I did that as an experiment leading up to my first competition. Eventually, I don't remember when, you know, I sort of take a break from eating so much and you get, you know, relaxed with the diet. And then, okay, well, time to go back up to six meals. And it's like, I was just doing four a day. Yeah, no, and it's worse with the fasting too. Well, not worse, but it's different with the fasting because there's nothing in there. So
yeah,
once that food digests, you know, it totally contracts up on you. But hey, as long as you're getting what you need.
Yep. And I'm keeping my fat with coconut oil and guacamole. With my meals to keep my calories up, because my weight is still, like I said, I just took 12 days off of weights, and normally my body weight would have dropped down to probably like usually 12 days off of no weights and doing cardio still outside of, I think I took 4 or 5 days off of the gym totally from my last 2 days in Australia, which was just by the travel requirements. There was no way to work out, and then it took the first few when I got home because I was all off, and I realized just to let my body rest while I had this little window to take some time off. But my weight has stayed. Like I said, I was 284 going to bed, so I'm still around 280, I would imagine. And it's like, I'm keeping my weight, but it's burning. I could clearly see a difference doing it.
Okay,
so
now here's my question, though. Since your stomach is shrinking, how are you going to do these competitive eating challenges?
This is what I'm now, like, I don't know what's going on. Like, I don't know if I'm really fucking myself. I'm just going to suck at these competitions. Look at this little bitch. Just start tapping out.
I can't eat the first burger.
That's somebody actually, you know what? So me with my entrepreneur mindset and everything, somebody, a fan actually said that they go, you should take Asian Joe on the road with you.
Yeah, I saw that.
And post. I actually, you know, because here's the thing, and this is one of the things, and like, people don't see what I'm doing, a lot of people. Uh-huh. So they don't know outside of if you follow my social media. But if I had somebody, and say for my wrestling event, and I have the promoter book you an air ticket, and I just take it out of my cut.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we film my life on the road and these things, or not you, but somebody.
I mean, I can definitely do it. I mean, I have my cameras and stuff like that.
It would allow for me to put out content like in JD, kind of like what Grant is doing and Ty on their whole end. But for me, with my wrestling and my stuff at home,
it would
be able to highlight that on social media. And I go, that if I could pull that off, that would fucking help things tremendously. So I don't know.
Your marketing team should do something like that. As far as like,
they do everything. They're straight up just social media. Like,
okay.
Like target audiences, sure, on Facebook and Instagram. Yeah. And like, and they've been doing a good job.
I think now with the YouTube channel, I think with your YouTube channel, but we should also do like, you know, I know you record yourself with your phone and stuff like that, but it should be like a day in the life of Ryback or something like that. And
yeah, well, that's the thing. When you just film content, though,
yeah,
it's just recording, and whatever happens, happens. You can edit that footage into stuff you need.
Yeah.
You can make inspirational videos. You could just make a day in the life video. You could do so many different things. But I was like, that's, goddamn, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
To start, but it takes a little bit of work and effort. Of course. But it's, I'm not doing anything I wouldn't be doing to begin with, except for just bringing somebody with me to start recording.
Yeah.
Which is something I'm not always the most social media friendly guy, sure, even course. Though I've adapted over the years.
But. Yeah, just have an Asian guy follow you with a camera.
Yeah,
that's,
just
that's,
God damn it, Joe! I'm trying to shower.
Okay, first of all, but you know, that you would know not what, happen.
Some of these people, they do it themselves, right? Like they'll have tripods and they'll have those handheld cameras that you know stay in position no matter if they're walking. I don't think I could be one of those people who
it's tough.
Filmed yourself. Like I would rather have somebody filming me.
Yeah, I think I would too.
Me filming myself because it's like you know, it's like the whole selfie thing and stuff too. It's like I would rather, you know, maybe it's because you know, being involved in wrestling and stuff before social media, like other people took your pictures, other people recorded mm-hmm. your matches, yeah, other yeah. people filmed all your stuff for you. And now we're in this age of everybody does it themselves. Like I feel weird most of the time, even just thinking about taking pictures of myself. I've had my picture taken so many times. Like, I'm like, I don't give a shit. Why am I going to take a picture of myself?
It looks like a bigger deal too, though, when you have somebody doing it.
Yeah, because you're conscious of what you're shooting. And so when you have somebody,
it's more natural.
The camera is more natural. Yep. And the camera guy or whoever's holding the camera will pick up, you know, because they're seeing everything. Whereas when you're recording yourself, you're only seeing yourself.
Yeah, it's a totally different feel. Yeah. I agree with you guys completely on that. That's one of the reasons I don't like doing that stuff. But if there's somebody there, especially the wrestling events and stuff, mm-hmm. I feel like people need to see that and see these great turnouts we have with these meet and greets and the interactions and see a different side of pro wrestling that you don't always get to see and stuff with I got going. I don't know. It's just, I was thinking about it. I was like, I got to really fucking, because I think it would, with social media, and Gary Vaynerchuk's always talking about, there's no more middleman, right? That there's the key to success all lies within social media now. And it is true on that, that if you do stuff right and it creates interest with people, they will follow you. Mm-hmm. So, and it's because there are people out there that have not, you had TV or any of this, and they have great social media followings. And outside of chicks with hot asses, that they're all going to end up getting a million followers at some point.
I do enjoy girls with high.
Which I think that's probably the highlight of every man.
Exactly.
Every man, that's why they like Instagram, I feel like, is that platform provides endless asses.
Of course.
And it doesn't feel like you're watching porn.
No.
It's like it's more accepted. But it's just like, oh, I could just look at all these beautiful asses all day long and I'm not a creep.
Yeah.
But, or you are a creep. I don't know. It's where I am.
You know, another thing it would help with too is, you know, we talked about this before. There are people, you know, haters on Twitter or wherever, they act like because you're not working for, you know, kind of like an indie darling federation that you're not wrestling anywhere. And I said, I used to work for feds that drew 1,000 to 2,000 people a show all the time, and they never had any internet presence at all.
Yep.
And I remember, you know, I would get to the show and be pleasantly surprised going, holy fuck. Like, first of all, I've never heard of this federation. Second of all, they have nothing going on online. But holy shit, there's 1,800 people here today in the middle of, you know, nowhere, Virginia. And it's like, well, who cares? Like what the fucking internet thinks. And there's a lot of companies, not to say they're all drawn, you know, 1,000, 2,000, but there's a lot of companies that do get good crowds and they don't have, you know, iPay-per-view or they don't really have much of an internet presence. They're just doing their own little thing, whether it's, you know, once a month, once every 6 weeks, they just run their own little thing in their own little town and they stay in their own little space, but they do it and they do it pretty good. And just because it's not a company that's widely known on the internet doesn't mean that they're still not doing it, and that when you go to these shows, it doesn't mean the show is worth any less than if it's fucking, you know,
wrestling
300
wrestling.
People.
Yep.
Yeah, or 300 people at Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, because I would rather have any day of the week a show with 1,500 fans versus 200 out of control, I love wrestling to death fans. Like, I'd rather have the bigger crowd any day of the week. And if it means that nobody knows that this show exists and the results aren't going to be posted anywhere, I don't give a shit, because I'm not doing, or I wasn't doing what I was doing for the results. And WWE doesn't give a shit. You know, they're not sitting there going, oh man, did you see this? Ryback wrestled in Spotsylvania, Virginia, 1,211 people. Holy shit. Yeah. Maybe we, like, they don't give a fuck.
No, it's, and that's the other thing. And we've expressed this time and time again. And as far as my decisions that I made and with the health and everything, and using this time to get myself healthy and wrestle at my own leisure. But that's one of the things, and the Cody situation is entirely different than my situation, because I wanted to do business stuff and my health became a major factor, and I can't join anywhere else. I've said that for I don't know how long now, but people hear what they want to hear or they don't hear. And it's, but I'm able to go to these independent promotions and make money I am beyond thankful for, because I have my name and my brand, and I've been able to take that and capitalize on that and still do what I love and have and do it when I need to, not on a, not say you got to wrestle four matches in 4 days and you got to do this every week. Because I physically, my body couldn't do that for this time until I knew I was going to be able to get better. And luckily I'm much closer to that, but there's, if they don't see it, they just think that, oh, you suck. You're not doing anything. You're a loser. A lot of people think, even if you wrestle in front of 500 people, they don't understand that. No, that promoter made money for that show still, bringing me in, and I'm making my money and all that. And they just have no concept. And if they knew it, it's actually more than a lot of the WWE guys get paid per match. It's, they wouldn't, they just don't, they can't comprehend that, because it's not what they, what they're accustomed to seeing and whatnot. But,
well, they also think everything's the same, and it's not, you know, meaning you're wrestling on the indies and so is Cody, so everything must be the same, and then therefore he's doing so much better than you because he's at Ring of Honor, New Japan. But people don't understand that if you have different intentions and different goals, what you're doing is not going to be the same. You know, Cody obviously has a chip on his shoulder with, in regards to how he was utilized at WWE, and he obviously, and rightfully so, should have been in a different spot, but they didn't see it that way. Hey, so just like a lot of guys.
Let me, JD, not to cut you off again, but let's take one more break here, and we're going to come back and continue this story here, because this is, you're bringing up a really good point that I want to talk about, actually, that with something that I heard. But we're going to take one last break here, guys, and we'll be right back. All right, we're back. And all right, the suspense, continue on. Sorry.
So, like, you know, Cody and lots of guys before him who don't feel like they were in the right spot or given the right opportunities, they leave and they go and they either reinvent themselves or they just leave and they go and do things that change the way they're looked at. Because, you know, one of the things that I was told really early on with WWE is you got to be careful because they like to put labels on people. And sometimes those labels don't come off. And once you got that label on you, no matter how good you are or how many people like you, if they see you in a certain way only, sometimes you can't change their mind.
Absolutely.
So maybe some of these guys have labels on them and they feel like they deserve more. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. So they leave and they go and they show that.
Yeah.
But there are other people who go on the indies that aren't trying to prove anything. You're on the independents because you are able to make money and command
doing what
salary.
I like. Yeah.
Like, well, like John Morrison's another example. Like, he didn't leave WWE and go on the indies and go on this campaign of proving like I should have been a main eventer.
Yeah.
He went out and he took bookings only when he wanted or has been. It's got to make sense for him. He gets the money he wants.
Yep.
He's not shortchanging himself. He's allowing himself the freedom to do other things outside. See, that's the other thing, too. People don't understand. Maybe you don't want to just wrestle.
Yeah.
And here you are, like, you started the supplement company. You want to get involved with real estate. You are getting involved with real estate. People have to understand this shit takes time.
Absolutely.
It takes a lot of fucking time. And there are only so many hours in a day. And sometimes you don't have a lot of help around you. So you're spending a lot of time doing due diligence. You're learning everything the hard way.
Yep.
And I know all this from firsthand experience. So you can't sit there and cater to the wrestling fans who think that if you're not in this federation or in this company, that you're not doing shit, because your goal isn't, and you don't care. But they think everybody's trying to do the same thing, and that's just not the case.
That's, and you bring up a good point, the selling, because I actually, and I talked to you about this, about I'm extremely happy for Cody and his, the route that he has taken, and it has fit him very well. I think people, they oftentimes they just think everything is the same, like you said. And when I left for the reasons I stated. Somebody, there was somebody didn't again today saying Ryback left because he didn't get enough money. Like, again, complete lie. The money that they offered me was great, and I was happy with that. That had very little to do with the decisions that I made at the end of the day, but I was hurt. I knew I was hurt when I was there, and I'd asked for my contract to expire. They were told me that they were gonna job me out on TV, then fire me, and job me out, embarrass me, whatever it was, then fire me, and I wouldn't want that. And that was from Mark Carano. Now, could I have actually gone and talked to Hunter and Vince past that? Which there are many discussions past that, but once that comes from the top, and we've seen it play out with other guys, they're dating back throughout the history of wrestling. I'd been there my whole life. I wasn't happy with that, and I chose to leave and go do these other things. And then I found out my health was not something that time off was going to fix, that I had these very serious health conditions, mainly four discs in my back that I was told I needed fused. That changes everything. And the business stuff was already going on. But I had to focus on, okay, I could do wrestling sporadically in this throughout this time and do the stem cell treatments on my back and shoulder and try to rebuild my body and learn how to make money in other ways besides wrestling and still get to do what I love at a frequent enough rate where I don't get ring rust, essentially, and keep myself in the game somewhat. But it was an entirely different path. And the reason why we're talking about this is because when I talked to you, JD, about this, is I heard, and I think it's important for people to understand, Cody left for entirely different reasons than I left, and then probably different reasons than for Swagger and for other people who are fired and whatnot. It's just that it's not all just the same. But most people don't dig deep enough to know that and understand it. And even though we talk about it time and time again, but I'm extremely proud for Cody and happy for everything. And I think his all-in event is going to be really, really good. And I'm looking forward to seeing what they do after that for sure. But yeah, just wanted to get that out. I think it can never say it enough. So, but with that, I think we'll go ahead and we'll wrap up this week's show. JD, we appreciate you joining in. And for everybody out there, where could we follow you? Anything you want to plug and let people know?
Just my Instagram, @IronAttitudeJD. You won't see shit about me. You'll just see shit about my company. It's customized weight belts, the most unique weight belts in the world. You can contact me through there, or you can visit IronAttitudeBelts.com. That is the business that I started. I didn't leave WWE, but I walked away from the wrestling business. Yep. And, you know, I had several reasons, but one of them was I just wanted more in life and kind of realized there's more to life than just wrestling after all those years. And this is the business I started. I worked very hard at it, and I'm very proud of it. So I shifted everything from about me, which is what it was when I was wrestling, to about my business.
And you've done all my Ryback big guy weight belts, my Feed Me More Nutrition weight belts, and you were actually the man behind the Ryback singlets as well. So it's I think everyone check out Iron Attitude, and I can't put over your weight belts enough. It's that other guy, I don't even want to mention his name. He tried to push his weight belt on me, but I was already a JD guy. So And I'll never forget, Sheamus brought me his belt. And I literally gave it back to him. I go, I don't want this. And I gave it back to Sheamus to give back to the guy, the other weight belt guy. Because holding it in side by side next year, it wasn't even close. And I thought it just looked like a cheaper belt. So that's I will always be loyal to Iron Attitude. So, well, JD, thank you for joining the show here. We're going to go ahead and we're going to wrap up on our end. But we hopefully can do this again. I think this is I've enjoyed the show a lot. So
mm-hmm. We actually did talk a lot.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Good deal. All right, buddy. Well, we'll talk to you next week, hopefully, or whenever you want to be back on.
All right.
Take care.
Later, DG.
See ya.
All right, man. I got to say, I really enjoyed having him on the show. Yeah. He's super. This is what I was saying.
Yeah, he's very.
This is the guy I talked to on Voxer all day long. Yeah. And like, we literally
going
leave
off nonstop.
15-minute messages back and forth. Yeah. And like, that's what I just said. I go, why not just do the podcast? It's such natural conversation. I hate having to stop the camera because it cuts into things a little bit.
He meets like some really cool stories, and we just have to cut it off. It just sucks.
But it allows. This is what when you get somebody, it could trigger so many more
more memories and
and he's not known him for years, going back all
the
way to
really
OVW.
Good stories too. Yeah.
Oh, he has a lot. People, he's one of the smartest guys in wrestling that I know, and I really think that a conversation with the big guy. The audience, I really hope you guys enjoyed him on the show. And if you would like to have JD on more, voice your opinion on social media and let us know what you think. Mm-hmm. And because we're constantly trying to grow and evolve this show and make it better for our listeners. And as much as I love doing it and stuff, I want you guys to enjoy listening more than anything. So. With that, anything you want to go ahead and plug this week?
That's AsianJoe.com. I haven't made an update because I've been busy, but AsianJoe.com, Webmaster Joe on Twitter and Instagram, and that's pretty much it.
All right. You guys can get all Amazon merch for Feed Me More Nutrition, Feed Me More, and the Big Guy Ryback on Amazon. My P.O. Box is P.O. Box 752740, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89136. Feed Me More Nutrition, available on Amazon, FeedMeMore.com, and eBay. For personal video shout-outs from myself, go to bookcameo.com/thebigguyryback. Wake Up, It's Feeding Time, my motivational book on Amazon in paperback, Audible, and Kindle format. For all pro wrestling bookings, email bookthebigguy@yahoo.com. Also, Bill Barons is going to be handling a lot of my wrestling bookings as well to kind of mix those in with what I got coming into the email. Fuel Meals, my personal meal prep service. Save 15% with discount code TheBigGuy, fuelmeals.com. Follow us on social media at CWTBG, on Twitter at Ryback22, on Twitter at Feed Me More Nutrition, on Facebook at TheBigGuyRyback22, on Instagram, and at Feed Me More Nutrition on Instagram, Ryback247 on Snapchat. You've just listened to another episode of Conversation with the Big Guy.
Go Knights.
Feed Me More.